know that over the years we prayed for businesses to come into Main Street and that things would be busy one day down here, and it's getting busy down here, let me tell you. I mean, it's really cool, and I can't really see them all from here, but we have Barnwood Blessings right here, which is a really awesome place. Casa de Leones, how you like my Spanish? You like that? Yeah, really good food right there. And of course, we have Rustic Elegance, which I never go to because I don't have enough hair to do anything with, but I think that's the name. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But Sandy does the best she can with my hair, so thank you, Sandy. I mean, I got a little bit going on. But we have a really cool business that has moved in, not just to town, but also to our building. And it's Formals and Florals on Main. And I'd like to have Michelle and Tara come on up, if you would. And I think I said the business name correctly. So, okay. So come on up and tell everybody what you guys are doing, because I'm sure people have been a little bit curious about what's been going on over that way. So please.
So this is Michelle, and I'm Tara. I opened up Formals and Florals. So the florist side is open now. It opened a week and a half ago, thanks to Pastor Steve and the church. The formal side will have tuxedos. You can rent, you can buy. Men, you can buy a dress shirt in Covington and a tie. We will have bride's gowns, mother of the bride formals, prom dresses for the high school kids, homecoming dresses, jewelry, all the things for the formal side. Michelle is the designer for the florist. I don't know anything about flowers, so Michelle is here, 25 years experience, so I'll let her speak on that.
I've been doing flowers for 25 years in Allegheny Highlands. I can't think of a better location. Everyone at the church has been so welcoming. Pastor Steve let me steal him the other day to tighten the helium tank. So we appreciate you. I can't think of a better place to be. But I can do anything from weddings to funerals. We have helium for balloons. I know that's been an issue. So if you guys need balloons blowed up, you can bring them to us. And we can help you with any floral needs that you have.
Cool. Well, we would like to pray for you. So if everyone can stand to your feet, and if you would stretch out your hands toward them today, we want to pray over them and their business today. Father, we just thank you so much for this business that has moved into our church. Lord, we pray your blessing over them. We pray that you help them to be profitable, that this is a good relationship with them here at the church, and that they do well in this community. Lord, we pray your blessing over each and everything that they do. Lord, we pray that you continue to walk with them, not only in their business, but in their families. And Lord, we pray for wholeness completely in their families. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. Lord, bless them, keep them, maintain them, Lord, and continue to bless them in the days to come. We love you and praise you and thank you for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, hold on just one second. She has one more thing to say.
I got to call Pastor Steve out. So, I don't know, I think it was a month and a half ago, he was talking about the financials of the church, if anybody was here for that. So he was talking about how he sold the other building, and because of this new business, they were going to take over the mortgage. So I just want to say that I am taking over the mortgage. So when he was talking about that, that was me. So I just wanted to call him out on that.
So please pray hard for her, okay? Thank you, guys. You know, one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that we're a bold church, that we pray over our community, pray over our businesses. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, because we want to see our community blessed. You know, we've prayed that God would bring businesses in the community and jobs here and all these things, and it's important that if we pray for those things that we also give our business to them. We can't take our business out of town. We need to actually spend the money here locally, and I know that you might think that's not ministry, and I'm telling you this, that if we pray for a blessing, then we need to be able to pour the blessings we have out into the community so that the money can go around here, because it's a blessing to all of us. And so we're in this thing together. Yeah. So today's Father's Day. And I just want to... What's that? Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And grandfather, yeah. I know I'm getting old. Thank you. Yeah. It happened. You know, it's funny, like in every workplace I've ever been, I've always been the young guy, you know, that everybody always saw, that guy's so young, you know, and all this stuff. Nobody does that anymore. I'm like the older guy now, you know, and they're like, oh, ask him. He probably knows. He's been around a long time, you know. But it's really cool to see all the fathers in this place today because it makes a statement. One of the reasons why our society is hurting is because of a lack of fathers and fathers that are absent, fathers that are checked out. And the thing about it is that today I see fathers in this place who have decided to bring their children here. Amen. That's a big deal. Yeah. They're wanting to raise their children knowing Jesus Christ. That changes everything. It will change their lives forever. You know, here's the thing. Fathers need to engage their children. They need to engage their marriages. They need to engage everything and be the man that God's called them to be. And it's not always easy. But the thing about it is, it's necessary. And God is using fathers to do great things, and I'm so thankful for the changes that I see in families today because fathers are willing to step up and be who God's called them to be. So thank God for that. Yeah. So I want to read you a passage today. Warren's not here today because he's almost to Colorado. So that's a little far to kind of beam him in for this, but I can go ahead and read his part, okay? So the passage today is from Acts 3. Let me just give you a little bit of setup for this, is that we talked about life before Pentecost. We talked about Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. And then the question is, what does it mean when the Holy Spirit's poured out? We talked about that last time. But what is life under the Holy Spirit? What is life walking with the Holy Spirit? You know, what is all that about? Because there's a lot of life after the Holy Spirit was poured out in Pentecost. As a matter of fact, we're walking it out today. So here's what it says. This is Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, so he jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. You know, when I was in church as a kid, there used to be a song. Do you guys remember anybody who grew up in church? You guys remember the song, "He was walking and leaping and praising God"? Do you guys know that song? You're looking at me like I never sang that song. I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, Barbara, thank you. What's that? Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. You're getting old like me. I hear you. Thanks for confirming that in me today. I appreciate that. You know, as I read the story, I think to myself, you know, it's like being carried to the every day to the temple gate is not living. It's not living. You know, and I think that for us as Christians that are operating in the Holy Spirit, we should have a problem with that. Like, we see people living that way. How do you walk past that? How do you not release the power that God has given you and the authority that He's given you into situations like that? When we see hopelessness, do we just walk by? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't walk by that. You know, at some point, like, the power of God and the presence of Jesus needs to be so strong in us that when we interface with these things, we engage it. We don't just walk by it and go, "Oh, that's so sad." You know, and I think a lot of us, we have the Spirit, but it's like we allow our feelings and our fears and all these things to come in to where we don't really operate in it. And when I say operate, I mean do the things that Jesus would do in that moment. And I think sometimes we hold back. You know, people in this life settle for coping. I mean, Jesus was never about coping. He didn't say, "Well, let me help you cope with the problems you have in your life so that you can eke out an existence until it's over." He never did that. He actually healed people. And, you know, we don't have to settle for coping, but we are filled with a world where people suffer and cope through things all the time. But the question is, if the Holy Spirit's in us and Christ's presence is with us, then how do we just kind of sit back and walk by that stuff and just let it go and just think to ourselves, that's sad, I'll pray for them if I can think about that one day? You know, it's like people ask for help. It's like they want relief. This guy is just wanting some money or whatever he had. He was just wanting that to get through another day. And it's so easy for us to go around and just operate in compassion and give to people and give the relief they need when they actually need healing. They need a touch from Jesus Christ, and Jesus is using us to do that. He gave us His Holy Spirit so that we could actually do that. Amen. But in so many times, we just let compassion rule, and it's not that compassion's a bad thing. It's just we let it rule to the point where we're all about distributing relief. We're helping people cope, but we're not pouring out the very thing that Jesus says, I have for them. Amen. The whole thing is compassion gives relief, but love heals. Amen. You know, it's like where do we go beyond just the compassion for human beings to get to a point where we love them enough and we have enough power of the Holy Spirit in us where we walk in there and we engage it? I mean, you'll notice in the story that it said, they said, look at me. Like, I'm sure that if someone just lays there begging since they were old enough to do that, that it gets to the point where they just kind of do this, you know, kind of keep their head down and put their hand out. And he says, look at me. I mean, you're a human, I'm a human, look at me, you're valuable. So as he begins to look at him, then he says, I don't have what you're asking for, but what I do have is everything that you need. And I wonder if there's... If we cross the paths of people in this life where they're struggling so badly, they don't have their head up anymore because they're so down, and then do we walk by and devalue them, or do we say, look at me, God has something better for you? Amen. You know, how far do we go with this stuff? Here's the thing. There's lots of ways you could handle that. I mean, you look at the story. There are a lot of things we could do when we walk up on someone like this at the temple gate. You know, if you give them relief, let's say you give them a dollar, you give them something, you know, that keeps them coming back, doesn't it? Do you really want them to come back over and over? I mean, where's the relief in that? There might be relief for a day, but then tomorrow comes again, and they carry him back out again, and they lay him down there again, and somebody else gives him relief. It keeps him coming back to the place where he suffers. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's really helping. I don't think that's really, like, in the long run, I don't think it's really giving them what they need. You know, there's also another option, and that is you don't give them anything at all. And if you don't give them anything at all, that makes for a really long day, and it creates hopelessness in people, and that's no good either. You know, I see on Facebook every once in a while someone's going through a hard time, and they say, hey, give me some positive thoughts and good vibes. I don't even know what a good vibe is exactly. I mean, it sounds like something a surfer would say out in California. Hey, dude, I got some good vibes for you. You know what I mean? I don't even know what that means. I don't even know. I'm not trying to make fun of stuff, but I mean, you know. And if you post you need good vibes, I mean, you know, more power to you. But I don't know what they are. But here's the thing. Good vibes and positive thoughts keep the people coming back to their suffering too. Because until Jesus is brought into your situation, you will never be set free. Never. Amen. It will never happen. You know, it's like, I think it's great when people are compassionate. I think it's great when somebody gives someone money. I love to see that kind of stuff. But God is saying, look, you have my Holy Spirit. It's time to go beyond compassion and go to true love. Because I loved you enough to save you. I loved you enough to heal you. I loved you enough to restore you. Are you willing to do that for my people too, or do you not have the love in you? Amen. Because I said, I gave you my Spirit for you to do those things. In His name. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there's also one other option that when you go to the gate that you pour out the healing that Jesus has. And then what's really cool is that guy never went back to that gate again. At least he didn't go back to lay there. He might have walked past it to go into the temple, but he never laid there again. Not one more time. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, that's a picture of real ministry where somebody never has to go back and lay there again. They don't have to suffer for the rest of their life. That they were set free because somebody finally operated in the Holy Spirit. And if you think about this, like when the disciples were walking around with Jesus and he was with them, I think a lot of times they watched and waited for Jesus to do something, and they were like his Flava Flav or something. They're like, yeah, Jesus, that's right, you know. And it's like the thing is, it's like they finally have to understand that Jesus isn't physically with them and it's theirs now. And until we own the ministry, until we own this, and we own the things that we see, we get to a place where we don't really take charge of the things that God has given us the ability to do that with. It's like, you know, we're not sitting back waiting on Jesus. I want you to kind of get this, because as I prayed through this, I really felt like God gave me this. Today we have Jesus Christ in us. So imagine, we're so empowered by the Holy Spirit that when we walk up on situations, I'm now, because Christ is in me, I'm looking through the eyes of Jesus. I'm thinking about that situation the way he thinks about it. I'm seeing what he sees, and I'm acting like he acts. Man, I don't know about you, but that's like huge for me. That's huge. It's like, I don't want to just do what Jesus did, you know? I mean, when Jesus' presence was so powerful in them that they spoke, look at me. They gave him what he needed. I mean, how powerful would God's people be if we were willing to do that? How powerful would the church be today if, when instead of walking by things, or instead of being quiet, or instead of keeping it to ourselves and playing this concealed hand in life, that we actually like reach out and do the things that we know Jesus wants us to do, not because we have a list of things that, well, Jesus did this, so I have to do this. You know, what would Jesus do was kind of a thing for a while. And it's easy for us to ask the question, like, in this situation, what would Jesus do? It's not like that. I mean, I don't know, this is kind of nuanced, so I want you to kind of get it today. But here's the thing, it's not just, what would Jesus do? What is it that I need to do to act like him so that I can somehow satisfy him in this particular situation? No. That right there lacks the full understanding of what the scripture is. How is it that I can have the presence of Christ so deep in me and the Holy Spirit so powerful in me that now I'm seeing through his eyes and I'm seeing things the way he sees them, I'm thinking the way that he thinks? I don't want to just do what Jesus did. I want to feel like Jesus feels. I want to see what Jesus sees. I want to think the way Jesus thinks, so that I'm not just having to wear a band around my wrist to remind me to do the right thing. Because the right thing is not the right thing if my heart's not in it. If I'm somehow trying to satisfy a list of things that Jesus would do because I saw him do it and that's what we need to do, that's not right. I want my heart to catch up with my actions. I want Jesus in me to be so powerful that it's so driving me that I do whatever he tells me to do, because if I didn't do it, I would be miserable. I just want to be his hands and feet. I want to do these things. I know that he's given me his Holy Spirit so that I can function in all these things. But sometimes, and I'm just being real, sometimes we don't function, and I haven't always functioned in my life that way, because there are things that hit me like, I don't know, if I did what Jesus told me to do, they might think I'm weird. What if it doesn't work? You know, it's like, there's so many things that run through our mind. I mean, what if people reject us because of the things that we're doing? But man, I want to be so strong with the presence of Jesus in me that there's nothing that holds me back. That I live completely like emboldened by the Holy Spirit. That I live in the power of Jesus Christ. That I have no brakes on me. That I'll literally do, I will engage anything. I mean, is that where we are? I'll engage anything if Christ tells me to engage that. But you know what? It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen until the presence of Christ is so strong in us and the Holy Spirit so powerful in us that we will let that drive our life and not our feelings or our limitations or our restrictions or I can't do this or I can't do that, because there's none of that when it comes to Christ. None of that. Because we can do anything. But the question is, are we willing to engage? I'll tell you, when we see what he sees and think the way he thinks, and we act on behalf of Jesus, it's like when we start living that life, we're not asking what to do anymore. I mean, that's an irrelevant thing. I know exactly what Jesus wants me to do in situations because I hear him speak to me. Amen. I hear him speak to me every day. I come up here to give a message. It's like, this is what I want you to tell them. I don't have any problem telling you that. Sometimes the things I say may not be super popular, but it doesn't really matter. Because in the end, I just want to be true to him. And I know that's what you want too. You want the word to be authentic. You want it to be from him. You don't want fake stuff. You don't want to come here and listen to things that I came up with. You want to hear the word of God. And that's why we came here. But the question is, now that we have the Holy Spirit, Are we going to operate in it? Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to drive the things that we do? Are we going to begin to engage our life and engage the world around us as Christ would engage the world? Or are we still walking around in fear and we can't quite swing it? Because you've been given everything. We all have been given everything that we need to be all that Christ has called us to be in every situation. The question is, who's going to man up or woman up or whatever to do those things? How much do we trust that God's going to show up? You know, I remember I was in Bogota, down in South America, in Colombia. And I had a lady come forward, and she's like, I want a baby so badly, but I can't have one. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, let's pray. And she's just like, okay. Like, I mean, you do that? I mean, like, yeah, we're going to pray for this baby. I mean, you got to have a baby. This is your heart's desire. And you know what? God's okay with that. It's time to pray for you. I remember laying hands on her stomach and saying, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you make her, you change her body and get her to a place where she can receive the baby that you have for her. And that, Lord, you place that baby there. And man, I mean, I knew with everything in me that day that we prayed about that it was absolutely done. I never followed up because we were going from city to city. I have no way to do that. But you know, it was one of the most amazing moments. It was like God spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to lay your hands on her stomach. I want you to pray for her, and I'm going to do the rest. I want you to do that. Amen. And you know what? That sticking your neck out there is tough, you know? And you know what? How many people, I mean, are we willing to live like that? Do we know that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? Do we know that he's all powerful? Do we know that he is bigger than infertility? Do we know that he's bigger than these things? Do we understand it? Because if we understand it, we have no problem operating in it. But here's the thing. We have to say, God, I receive your son Jesus into my life. I give my life to him. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit in me because I want to be empowered to the fullest to do everything that you called me to do. Now, give me boldness. Give me boldness. Give me the ability to engage the world that I live in. Help me to engage things and not walk by them anymore. Because I don't operate in my feelings. I don't operate in my fears. I don't operate in these things anymore. I will do what you tell me to do. I want to see through your eyes. I want to think the way you think. I want your wisdom. I want what you want. And I'll do anything for you. And I wonder if that's where we are. Because that attitude, that's the attitude that changes the communities that Christians are in. Let me tell you something. That community was changed that day by that one man. The man that laid by the temple gate forever, and all of a sudden he's like jumping and he's like leaping and he's praising God. And they're like, that's the same guy who was laying there. Amen. And then everybody's blown away and everybody's gathering around the disciples and everything is happening and everybody thinks the disciples did it. And so the disciples tell the people because there's got to be something said because the community just got turned upside down, you know. Well, you know, I don't know why you're like, I don't know why you think we did this, because we didn't. It was in the power of Jesus Christ. You might remember his name, because he's the one you took to the cross and you crucified. Maybe you guys remember him. But it's in his name that we do these things. It is in his power that we do these things. God gets the glory, not us. We don't go around telling people, well, you don't know what I did today. I did this and I did that and they were healed and it's so great. God really used me. It's awesome. No. It is all God, all Christ. It is Jesus who opened your eyes. It is Jesus that gave you the ability to think, and it is all for his glory because it wasn't in your strength you did it. Amen. It is all about him. And you know what that makes us? That makes us bond servants of Christ. That makes us slaves to Christ. Are we okay with that? Yes. Because God says, I want to use you, but you've got to be to a place where you'll do what I'll tell you to do, which makes us completely subservient to Christ. We're no longer ours. We no longer belong to us. We belong to him. And we exist for his glory. When we get this, when we understand this, when it crosses over and it becomes ours, then we find ourselves engaging the world that we live in. And let me tell you something. Fathers need to engage their children. Because we live in a world where like, well, you know, if I say that to my kids, it's going to kind of turn them. You know, you kind of have to handle things carefully. No, here's the thing. God is going to use fathers, parents in general, to engage the lives of their children head on because they love them. They're going to say the things to their kids that need to be said because they love them. They're not going to hold back. They're not going to not say these things. They're not going to like stand back and watch things happen anymore. That's exactly what happens in the world. That's what happened to that guy at the temple gate. People walked by him and they let the stuff go. They ignored it. They let things happen because, well, that's the guy who lays at the temple gate. That's just what he does. Give him a dollar. Everything's going to be okay. We'll see him again tomorrow. We'll give him another dollar. You know, we can't treat our families that way. We can't treat our friends that way. We can't treat our workplace that way. We can't treat our church people that way. We need to engage. We need to engage our spouses. We need to engage hurting people. We need to engage the wisdom of God. And here's the deal, that you look into the Word, that you know what the truth is so that you can actually use it. Engage it. This life for us as Christians, when Christ is operating in you and the Holy Spirit is all powerful in you, you engage the world that you live in. You engage the Word of God. You engage the Lord in prayer. You engage people and their situations. And you don't stand back and think, this is really awkward. You know, it might have been a little awkward. He goes up to him and he says, I know you want money, silver and gold. I don't have, but what I do have, I give you this. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. That might have seemed a little awkward to them. But here's the thing. They were operating in the power of the Holy Spirit because they had already been through Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was already poured out. They had everything that they needed. And Jesus was present that day in them. So like in my life and in your life, I really want Jesus to be so present in me that when I see things, I see them the way He sees them and I see situations for what they really are. And that whatever He says to do, I'll do because I know His voice. It says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We know Him. When He speaks, we should be able to answer. We should be able to be there. We should be able to engage on whatever we roll up on. That wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, walking down the street, doing whatever, that when we see something and God stirs us inside, that we immediately handle it. Look at me. I'll tell my wife, look at me. Look at me. It's like when we actually engage the situation, we engage the people that God has put before us. I don't know when the last time is that you really engaged your world. Because some of us have become kind of complacent about that. Some of us have kind of gotten to a place where we're introverted. We don't really talk to people. We don't really do this. We don't really do that. I'll tell you, with Jesus, you'll do anything. Amen. We need to quit telling God what we're not doing. You know what I mean? We need to start telling Him, you know what? You know I'm an introvert. You made me, but I'll do anything you tell me to do. I'll come out of my shell for you. You know, we can't use our personalities as some sort of a crutch to what we won't do for God. Because it sets you up for failure. It sets you up to be the guy who keeps walking by the guy at the temple gate called Beautiful and leave him laying there. That's what it sets you up for. At some point, we need to say, you know what? It doesn't make any difference how God made me. It doesn't make any difference like my limitations in my flesh because in my spirit, I have no limitations. In my spirit, I can do anything. I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know what I mean? I'm like, I can do anything for Jesus because it's in His strength I'm doing it. And I'm wondering if we'll be those kind of people. I wonder if we'll decide to engage our world that way. Does anybody know what this means to you? Is this hitting where you live right now? Because we need to think about what it means to engage the world that we're in. Because as I talk about this today, some of you know what you haven't been engaging. Things that you've let go by, things that you've ignored, things that you've not done anything with. You have let those things go by, and you know that you've not engaged them, but I want you to understand your calling in Christ is to engage everything that God tells you to. So how many of us will pray and say, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit to the point where I'm fully empowered and bold to do the things You called me to do. Now give me ears to hear Your Holy Spirit so that when You speak to me, I absolutely will do everything You tell me to do. You know, when you're like that, you're dangerous. You know what I mean? You're dangerous because you can set anything right in the name of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we're willing to do that. I want to pray over you today. I want to pray over you today that God will work this stuff out in you and take any hindrances away, any limitations away. He will change the way that you talk about yourself. He will change the way that you do things so that you can fully understand that it is in His power and in His power alone that you do these great things. It is only for His glory that we do them. But so many of us have limitations, and I'm praying that God takes those things away so you can fully be everything that God's called you to be. Chad. God wants me to tell you this, okay? I'm just going to be straight about it because here's the deal. You have a boldness about you that God has given to you. You will do things, anything that God tells you to do, and you don't even have a problem with it. You will engage people that some people wouldn't even engage because they would be worried about being rejected. You don't have any problem with that. You'll go right in there and do it anyway, and you do it with a smile on your face. You know, it's not like you do it all timidly. You're not a timid guy. But you jump right in there and you take care of it. God is working this stuff out in you, and he's done a great job at it, and he's going to continue to give you even more. But as I'm sitting here speaking, you keep, like, I keep connecting with you, and I feel like I need to tell you that. That's what God wants you to know today. You know. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. There may be some here today who have never started your walk with Jesus Christ, but you say, today is the day. This is what I'm ready to do. If you are ready to begin a relationship with Christ and see where he takes you from this point on, I want you, just if you would, just to lift your hand today and just to say, I'm ready for that decision. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you. Any others today? Hold your hand up. I just want to thank you. I just want to pray between you and God today. Just lead you in this prayer. Father God, today I give you my life. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was raised for my freedom. Today I accept your Son into my heart. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit over me today so that I am fully emboldened to do what you've called me to do. I want your fullness today. Give me ears to hear your Holy Spirit. Give me the strength to walk it out. Lord, I love you and I thank you for my salvation and my eternity with you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed. There may be some today who have accepted Jesus, but you've never really asked for the Holy Spirit to be poured over you. If that's your heart's desire, if you would hold your hands out right now as God pours out his Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you pour your Holy Spirit over these people today, Lord. I pray that you pour it over them to overflowing in abundance, Lord, so they can be all that you've called them to be. Lord, I pray that you take off every limitation, everything that they've seen about themselves that keeps them from doing the things you've called them to do. They are no longer the way they used to be. They are a new creation, Lord. I pray that you tell them that you help them to take hold of that today through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for pouring out your Spirit today. I thank you for what you started in them today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And for all of us today, Father God, I thank you that you had given us your Holy Spirit, that we can walk in the power of Christ through our lives, Lord. I pray that you take off the blinders that we've worn for years, the things that have kept us from really seeing things the way you see them and doing things the way you do them, and Lord, thinking the way you think and operating in your wisdom, Lord. It's what we want. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you continue to stir us, Lord, so that we can engage the world around us, that we don't timidly walk by things where people are coping or just need relief. Lord, I pray that you help us not to be driven by compassion, but to be driven by godly love. So that when we see people hurting, that Lord, we reach out with your power and your might and your Spirit. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this place. Lord, help us to engage our families, to engage our world, and Lord, most of all, to engage you and your wisdom in the Word. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.